Hey everybody, glad you're here. Oh, we've been busy. We have been busy everywhere, and every week I do the show, and I think a lot of times about where am I going to go with things? What am I going to do? I was it's show prep. There's always headlines. There's always this. There's always that. But a lot of times it kind of comes down to what's in my heart, what I can speak about passionately, what I care about. And one of the things that's really got me fired up right now is this whole thing with this Christian nationalism, right? I talked about this at the Reawaken Tour last weekend, and I think I'm going to talk some more about it today because I think it's really just a critical thing. Why are we allowing bigotry against Christianity or anyone else, right? There's a lot of misunderstanding about my position on this, why it's so important, different things like that. So I really want to talk about that. We're going to try to get into some other things, a lot of interesting things happening on COVID and everything else. But I want to talk about this Christian nationalism stuff a little bit. So stick with us.
SAT123.com, they have put together a really incredible package: emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones, we've got solar panels, and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because, of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts, and the power grid is just failing, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks. This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
Hi, everybody. Doug Billings from The Right Side with Doug Billings. Don't forget, Brighteon TV, the place to find everything that you want, including these two ladies. Holy moly, look at me. You think that God's not involved in this? You got another thing coming. It's a God thing, ladies and gentlemen. Join us.
We love you guys on Brighteon TV, Resistance Chicks, and Doug Billings.
The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at Resilient Prepping.
Okay, everybody, so let's talk about Christian nationalism. Why does this matter? Well, let me start talking about my views a little bit on this, right? So, first of all, there's the basic question I keep asking: what do you oppose about it, right? So Christianity is about treating others with respect, doing unto others, loving each other, not judging people, judging actions, allowing for respect even for people who are not Christian, people who fail in their duties to God. We are supposed to love. We lead by example, not through abuse or punishment or anything of the sort. We teach with respect. So what is wrong with that? Who opposes that? Who opposes respecting each other and loving each other? If you can explain that to me, I would love to hear it, but I don't know what it is. Nationalism breaks down to supporting America. Okay, so the nation that ended slavery created suffrage, promoted equality, promoted economic prosperity across the world, stood for freedom, stood against communism. I mean, you know, listen, we're not perfect, but we're a good country. How do you not support that, right? So there's the, why do you oppose these, right? That's a big question. And I haven't gotten any even sort of an answers on that. And I've tried. But there's also more to it than that, right? So Christianity is one of a lot of religions. And there's also the no religions. And I've heard people say, well, you know, you shouldn't promote this because, you know, you're a lawyer and it just doesn't matter. You know, this country supports all religions, what have you. Okay, so I have a response to that. The first thing I want to tell you is, yes, I am a lawyer, but that does not preclude me from being a Christian. In fact, I'm a Christian before I'm a lawyer. I'm a Christian before I'm anything, because my faith is central to who I am. It is God, then family, then country. Okay, those are my priorities. That's not going to change. My loyalty is to God over anything in this country or anything else anywhere. Now, here's the thing, though. My loyalty is to God first, but as a nation, in a nation of law, I respect that all religions are welcome. I don't care even if you're non-religious. It doesn't matter who you are. I don't discriminate and I don't have any animosity for you who you believe. Part of that's because my faith teaches to love everyone, to respect everyone. You know, I read Christianity to mean that I do my best to do what I can under God and be willing to teach it, be willing to talk about it, but not to force it. You can't force faith on anybody. So I don't care what you believe. You do what you're going to do. I'm going to keep doing what I do. I'm going to try and do good and sow good, and hopefully it will reap good, right? If you want to do it differently, good for you. You know, whatever. I hope you find God and I hope you find Jesus. And if you do, that's great. But if you don't, I still wish the best for you. That's my view of Christianity. There's no hate there. I don't judge anybody. I don't, you know, I mean, what people do is between them and God. You know, I can support them and try and support them in doing right, but it doesn't mean that I'm judging or hating them. That said, let's understand something. I have every bit as much of a right to believe the way that I do as a Jewish person, as a Muslim person, as an atheist person, as an agnostic person, as a Buddhist, as a Taoist. It doesn't matter. In this country, we all have the right to believe and choose to believe as we want. We've also, as a nation, came together very clearly and said we will not tolerate religious discrimination or any other type of discrimination, because we're a good country that's recognized that nothing good comes from discrimination. Well, why is it that the one exception to that right now seems to be against Christians? Why is it that we hear the major media all talking about Christian nationalism with a sneer, as though there's something wrong with supporting Christianity or something wrong with supporting America? I reject both of those. I support both. And what's the difference if I do? What's the difference? What's the difference to you on it? Now, I'm curious, and this is a very easy question, but, you know, would the Washington Post have an issue with a Muslim nationalist? What if a Muslim nationalist lived in Saudi Arabia and was pro-Saudi Arabia and pro-Islam? Would they have a problem with that? Would they say that's dangerous? I've never seen an article to that effect, nor should I. It's none of their business. It's none of Washington Post's business. Your religion is your business. And unless you do something that's going to interfere with other people's rights or freedoms, it really should remain your business. Now, if you choose to partake in something where your religion is going to try and impose or force your beliefs or your lack of beliefs or whatever it is or whatever you do on other people, well, then, you know, that doesn't work out so well in a country that believes in freedom and believes that we should have the right to believe as we choose. But that is not Christianity. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm aware that there's been some horrible things done under the guise of Christianity. I happen to be Catholic. Don't judge me. The Pope sucks. But under Catholicism, I mean, we've done horrible things. There were horrible atrocities during the Crusades and, you know, historically. There were also, right now, we've got a Pope that's out there promoting communism and this environmental garbage. I mean, the guy's a scumbag. There's been a lot of bad done under the guise of Christianity, but it's not Christianity that's at fault. It's the people. People are flawed. People make mistakes, all of us, including myself. So the issue I have is my right to be a Christian and a nationalist. And the whole psychological warfare, or whatever it is that they're doing, try and make it so that anybody who is a Christian or is a nationalist is a bad guy. I hate to break it to you, I'm not a bad guy. I'm a guy that supports your right as a piece of garbage reporter to write these articles. I'm a guy who supports your right as a piece of garbage reporter to not believe, or to believe whatever it is you choose to believe. Now, I may not like what you do as a reporter, and I may think you're a sellout piece of garbage, but I even support your right to do that, right? So it's ironic that I'm seeing so much mainstream press trying to paint Michael Flynn and Clay Clark and the Reawakening Tour as Christian nationalists, like that's bad. What I say is congratulations, Michael Flynn. Congratulations, Clay Clark. God bless you for having the courage to stand for what you believe in, and for the fact that what you believe is that everybody should be treated with love and respect and equality. Those are good things. Those are very good things. And I've got to wonder the motives for those that are questioning it, right? So what are you pushing? If you're against Christian nationalism, where are you going with this? What are you trying to do? And where does that come from? If you believe in live and let live, and if you believe in non-discrimination and, you know, the religious freedom, then you don't discriminate against Christianity. You don't discriminate against any religion, right? But that's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. Why? I want to know why. You know, I'm just pondering this a little bit, and I pose this question. Can anyone list for me a communist nation that's embraced religion ever? How about a dictatorship? Can anyone list one? No, you can't. The reason is that the first thing that tyrants do when they come into play is supplant religion. Why is that? Well, I'm going to pose this to y'all. I believe that the foundation of any religion that believes in the Creator God is freedom. Well, let me explain that. What does a Creator God mean? Well, if you believe in a Creator God, then you believe the universe and everything in it was created originally from God, right? Which would include humanity. If God can create humanity, well, that means that God could have created slaves. Faith, by nature, is a choice, right? So if I've got proof, if I can show you a picture of God and say, I believe in this guy, well, that's not faith. That's just evidence, right? Faith is a choice. It means that we cannot prove what we believe, but we choose to believe it anyways. That's the nature of faith. Now, in my heart, do I know God's there? Yes. So I want to make sure that that's clear. But can I physically prove to anybody that God exists? No, I can't. I mean, I just can't. Yeah, there are people who've done miracles, and if God was to choose to allow me or someone else to do that, then that would be a physical manifestation or evidence. But that's a pretty rare thing, and it's not something that happens all that often. I do believe in it. But generally speaking, faith is a choice. It has to be a choice. And God gives very little in the way of direct evidence, because if he does, then it's not a choice. So this is really an important thing. If God chose to make us, he could have very easily provided evidence of his existence. So if you believe in a Creator God, you believe he could have made very clear evidence that he's there, which then negates faith. There's no choice to believe in him if you don't need to make a choice, because you can see it, right? I believe that the sun's out right now. I can see it. There's no faith that the sun's out. It's just I see it. There's evidence, right? Yep, there it is. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, if God chose to give us the freedom to make the decision about the most important thing in the world, which is to believe in him or not to, then isn't freedom a part of human nature? Isn't it a necessary part of who we are? See, I believe free will is a manifestation of God's creation of us, right? I believe that we were created in his image with free will, and we were given that for whatever purpose, to test us, to whatever. But we have the option to choose faith or choose not. I've chosen faith in my life. If you haven't, I'm sorry. I wish you the best and I hope you find it. But if not, that's okay. He made us free. It's an inherent part of human nature. He didn't make us slaves. He gave us faith, which is choice and freedom. Now, if he gave us freedom in the most important thing that there is, which is the choice to believe in him or not, then wouldn't it make sense that that's inherent to our humanity? And wouldn't it make sense that when someone wants to eliminate freedom, that one of the first things they would do is try and eliminate faith? That, I believe, is why, at the core, every dictatorship and every communist nation in history has tried to get away with God, do away with God, or become God. Even going back to you know, ancient Egypt, you know, the pharaohs were gods, right? You had to believe in them. They took God's place. They supplanted him because they positioned themselves as gods. They couldn't have someone higher than them, a divine authority that they were accountable to. Because if leadership is accountable to anyone or anything, and that leadership is evil, well, then it's got to answer for it, right? So this is kind of this foundation for my belief that we're all created equal and with free will, because it, to me, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Now, let me talk about something, and I know we're in a deep show here, right? So you're either going to like this show or you're going to be asleep. And I'm sorry, but I think this is really important for me to get out there. These attacks are not acceptable. And we need to all be on the same page here. So I'm trying to give you guys arguments in case you need to argue back against people. So let me give you some evidence for God, okay? Evidence, not proof. Because, you know, all we can have are things that are circumstantial. Otherwise, we don't have faith. But if God is true and God gave us rules, those are universal rules, right? That runs counter to the idea of moral relativism. For any of you that don't know, moral relativism is the idea that no matter what you do, it might be right for you. This whole my truth, your truth, that's moral relativism. I believe there is right and there is wrong. Okay, that if you believe in God, you believe there is right and there is wrong. It's not my truth, your truth. It's just truth or not truth. Now, we can debate about what's truth and what's not. But let's talk about God, right? So if there are universal rights and universal wrongs, those are manifestations of consciousness, right? You can't have a universal right or wrong without there being some sort of a defining nature to it. So I believe that there are. And if there are, that would have to come from somewhere. I think the fact that there are universal rights and universal wrongs is the strongest evidence that there is of God. Now, let me explain this. For moral relativism to be true, it has to be true 100% of the time, right? If there's any universal right or universal wrong, then you don't believe in moral relativism. And the question isn't whether moral relativism is real, it's whether or not something falls within the category of being relative or it's an actual right or wrong thing. When you go to law school, everybody's told about this moral relativism nonsense, and a lot of these kids believe it. But I have a question for anybody who wants to argue that moral relativism is true. My question is this: when is it okay to rape an infant? If your answer is anything other than never, you need mental help. How about this? When is slavery based on race okay? If your answer is anything other than never, you need mental help. When is what Hitler did acceptable? Again, if your answer is anything other than never, you need mental help. So those are some very, very clear, quick, easy questions you can ask anybody. If their answer is never, then that means that they're accepting the fact that there are certain things that are universally right and universally wrong. If there is universal right and universal wrong, then that means moral relativism is a fallacy. It's a logical, philosophical fallacy. It's not real. Okay? if it's not real, then the question is, where do the moral constants come from? And my argument is God. So again, going back to this whole thing, right, Christian nationalism. I've just made a very, what I would construe as a compelling argument for faith, for God, and for morality. I've made a very compelling argument that, in my opinion, that moral relativism is false, that freedom is inherent to human nature, and all these sorts of things. I've also talked about what Christianity is. Christianity is the belief that you love one another, you treat others like you want to be treated, right? So Jesus gave us two big rules: know God before your God, and love each other like you want to be loved. Very simple, right? He forgave sinners. He, if we recall, he ate with prostitutes and sinners. He hung out with people who needed healed, not people who were well. He didn't judge. He helped people to be better. These are all things that are foundational to Christianity, helping people be better, love each other, respect each other. You know, not judging an individual, but trying to help them to be better. What's wrong with any of this? Why is this a threat? What is domestic terrorism about that? What is potentially wrong or bad about any of these thoughts? My answer is nothing. In fact, my answer, my belief is the world would be a whole lot better if a lot more people believed and lived that. So why would they do this? Well, I think this goes back to the whole question I was asking about tyrants. If you want to destroy America, you have to start by destroying our Christianity and our nationalism. If you love this country, or if you love God, you're not really going to be willing to subject yourself to some sort of a tyrant or dictator. Now, whether that tyrant or dictator is a global World Economic Forum type scumbag that wants to download your brain to the internet and control you, which is, you know, what they say they want to do, their words, not mine, it's sick in the head, and I don't know how that works, but, you know, whatever. Or whether your tyrant is the Chinese Communist Party, who is doing all sorts of terrible things against our country, doesn't matter to me. Either way, what I do know is that the people who want to be tyrants, who want to be dictators, who want to be in control, never subject themselves to the same standards that they subject the people to. Ask the Chinese people that, right? Do you think the Chinese Communist Party is living in the same communist regime as the people? Do you think that the Chinese Communist Party members, the leaders of the CCP, own nothing and have nothing? Do you think that they are worried about, you know, being slaughtered like the Uyghurs, right? No. No, they're living opulent lives. They're living the good life. And their people are suffering. Do you think that Yuval Noah Harari and Klaus Schwab, when they talk about hooking your brain to a computer and, you know, making you part of this collective, do you think that they're going to be controlled in the same way that you are? Do you think they're going to hook their brains to the computer and let the AI run them that they're talking about? I don't even know if this is possible. This whole thing is insane to me. But that's what they're promoting. That's what they're talking about. They're talking about you'll own nothing and you'll like it. Well, is Harari going to own nothing? Is Klaus Schwab going to own nothing? Are they going to give up theirs? Does that mean that they're going to live in a 2,000 square foot house on whatever sort of a... you know, universal income that they're allowing for the rest of us? Or are they going to be the elites that rule over the rest of us? See, the thing about these people is universally and throughout history, the people who are opposed to faith and opposed to freedom are opposed so that they can have more for themselves at the expense of everybody else. That's what's happening. We have people who are trying to do what every tyrant and every dictator in history has tried to do. They're trying to take more for themselves and take away from everybody else at everybody else's expense. And they do it through lies, through cheating, through manipulation, through all sorts of evil and nefarious mechanisms. This is no different. Harari, Schwab, CCP, pick your crew, they're all just as rotten. And they're no different from Stalin. They're no different from Mao. They're no different from Hitler. You know, these are people who are absolutely of the belief that there are useless eaters and there are elites, and that they and their elite buddies should rule the rest of us useless eaters, and that's the way it is. The Green New Deal, the green anything that we're hearing about right now is part of this. The COVID narrative is part of this. Election stuff is part of this. This whole thing is part of this. The remedy to all of this is Christian nationalism, is freedom, is autonomy. It doesn't mean Christian nationalism will never mean that we force Christianity or anything else on anybody else. But it does mean that we will stand for and fight for freedom. And that is the great threat to them. Allow me to tell you guys this one more time, because I keep saying it and I'm going to keep saying it. I'm a proud Christian nationalist. I believe in my country. I believe in my God. I will stand for my country. I will stand for my God. My God believes in love and fair treatment. He believes in nonviolence. He believes in us standing for what's right. My country's the same. I'm a proud Christian nationalist, and I hope you will join me and stand for freedom. Thank you all. See you next week.